Something that we encourage in this fellowship is for each person to read the Bible through the year. Sometimes we've done our own reading plans. Sometimes it's included just the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs. Sometimes we've gone through the whole Bible. Sometimes, or once, we did it chronologically, so not necessarily in the order that the books, the 66 books, come in the Bible, but as when we believe they were written. We don't, it's present to our own reading plan. Of course, if you go on the website each day, there is a text, there is a verse of Scripture. But I know, again, several of you will have started at Genesis again on January the 1st. Please, can I encourage you, whatever stage you're in your pilgrimage, to read the Bible consistently. Don't get into bondage about it. Also, please, as well as perhaps the systematic reading of the Bible, if you're beginning at Genesis, reading through, or if you began at Matthew, or saying, I'm going to read the whole of Romans in the next week, do that, but also at other times, just ask the Lord where he wants you to read, and get his word. And there is no benefit just for reading through the Bible, and because we might get puffed up and say, hey, I've done it, this is the 54th time I've done it. But if we're not then living in the Word, if it's not being quickened to us, if we haven't increased in faith and in godliness, well, the Word in one day may condemn us. But I do encourage you to read. And I want us to read Genesis 1 and 2 right now. The theme today, and perhaps over the next 2 or 3 weeks, is relationships. Very practical word. Maybe a month or so ago, Alex brought something about the man, the woman, and children, and brought some teaching on relationships. And I want to develop that. So if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and this is the beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. It is the beginnings. Now, this morning we have an adversary. The Hebrew for Satan is adversary. And he would like us not to read Genesis. But God wants us to. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the water from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament above the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over day and over the nights, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. The Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the ground. He formed it of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. It's the word of God. Thanks be to the Lord for it. Relationships. Our God is a creator, isn't he? He is a creator God. And the opening song that we sung this morning reminded us that he goes by the title Yahweh, always. He's always been there. No one made God. He is there. He is always there, always. And the Bible assures us it never argues the fact that God exists and he's always existed. It never gives us any sort of discussion on it. It's taken for granted. God is, always has been. Praise be to the Lord. The psalm, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yahweh, he spoke and the words were formed. In fact, in chapter 1, which we have just read of Genesis, we read that God said, 10 times he spoke, 10 times he spoke, he said, he breathed, to bring life out of order, he spoke. And it was all very good. It was good. A little while back, Alex gave an exposition, John 1, Genesis 1, and the light coming into the world. The light, of course, is Jesus. We read, don't we, The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Perhaps I'm rushing ahead a little bit, but God visited this planet. He visited this planet. He has tabernacled among us. Jesus identified with us. He became flesh, and we beheld his glory. A few weeks back, some of us were around Mike and Nicky's, and we saw a DVD on God the Creator, and the thing which I think just struck us is, I mean, our world, this planet, is something like just 5% of the whole orbit, the whole cosmic life. We're in a sense, insignificant, aren't we? Yet God chose to visit us. What an amazing God he is. Yes, not only is he creator, but what an artist as well. No two snowflakes the same. No two stars. Amazing variety. Amazing harmony as well. This is our God. And he has chosen to make himself known to us. Do you know him? You can't know God unless you come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he came. God says, God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one can come to the Father but through me. And I have to tell you, as a preacher and as a believer, there's not many ways. There's not two ways to God. There's one way. It's through Jesus we humble ourselves before him and realize that we would never, could never. I mean, some of you, I don't know, I suppose you just get a kick out of it, but some of you go to the sales, December sales, and you spend your money on possibly, so you get some good bargains, but doubtless you may get something which you don't really need, but it's cheap, but you still have to pay for it. You go around the supermarket and you see, there's two for one. You don't even need one, but because you're going to get one free, you purchase. You know, that's some people's psyche, and I don't blame you. I'm not criticizing you. I've got my own ridiculous, stupid foibles. But we see things that are cheap, but there is nothing free. We have to pay for it in the end. Of course we do. But Isaiah 55 says, oh, if you're thirsty, if you want salvation, if you're desperate, if you know you're a sinner, if you know that if you're going to die today, you'll go to hell because you haven't peace within, forgiveness. Oh, if you're thirsty, come to the Lord. Don't need money. Salvation is free. You can't buy it. It cannot be purchased. That is the only thing. It cost Jesus everything. Everything. It's not cheap salvation. It costs God everything, but it's free to us. Don't spurn it. If you've never come to the Lord and you know, he's saying, seek my face, you will live. Please don't delay. Let the Holy Spirit draw you to himself and that you will confess your need of a Saviour. When we come to the Lord and he indwells us by his Holy Spirit, the Bible says we become a new creation. we have his life within. We will still have struggles. We may still have issues to deal with. There may be mountains still to see removed by faith. But God has promised, I'm now with you. I'm now living within you. We're a partnership. And although there may be sorrows, because many prove that when they come to Jesus Christ and as Saviour and make him Lord, life gets tougher. It can cause upsets within families, at work, in college, in school, because now you belong to God. You're separated from the world. It can cost to become a Christian. Salvation is free, but it may cost you your friends. It may cost you a job even. But blessed are those who are persecuted. You see, we can have the peace of God. When we have Jesus, we can know peace even in the midst of trouble. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have peace. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. We don't know what we're going to have to live through, even in this coming year. But the promise is, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our faith in the Lord. We see God. We may see trouble. We may at times be very aware of the adversary. We may see something of the darkness around us in the world, in the community. But we're in the light. The light has come. We're dwelling in the light. And we can overcome by faith. Indeed, the martyr's testimony is, and those who have suffered for their faith, is how, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, is time. We heard the word this morning, the prayers which went up. You know, don't compromise. Get our priorities right. This is a good year to start again saying, Lord, you are my everything. So I pray each and every one, even by the end of this service, will know that they have surrendered their all to Jesus Christ and know that they have been saved. Saved from sin, and that the Holy Spirit will quicken you so that you will now desire the things of God rather than the things of the world. You see, believers, if you're still in the world, we're all in the world, but you're still, if you are making the world's choices yours, the pleasures of the world yours, then does the love of God really still dwell in you? We may even make ourselves an enemy of God if we're not separated. Please help us, Lord. You gave yourself for us that we may live holy lives before you. So I really urge you in the Holy Spirit to surrender all to Jesus Christ. He loves you. And he has given himself for you. What can we give in return? Our weak heart, but our obedience. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. So man is wonderfully made. I tell you, we came from the dust and we're going back to the dust. That doesn't leave much room for boasting, does it? But he breathes his breath into our nostrils. Of course, all animals have the breath of life. We, of course, read that in the account of the ark, don't we, and the flood. The animals which had the breath of life, they came into the ark and so on. But we are unique. We're unique from all other creation. We didn't come from apes. Sometimes when people look at me, they think perhaps he did come. But I soon put them right. We are unique amongst all creation. Hallelujah. We have the eternity put within us. We have eternity. Animals don't. We have eternity. We have a conscience. We have a spirit of God. Made in the image of God. The likeness of God. That which animates God animates us as well. He gives us a soul. He's given to us that eternal element. God created man in his own image. He wanted fellowship. He can't have fellowship with animals, but he can with humans. We've been created for fellowship. Hallelujah. So we must in some ways be like God. We're not God. And in some way he must be like us. Made in his image, in his likeness. In our image. In the ancient times, in the olden days, an emperor might command that statues be put in the remote areas of his kingdom, in the remote areas of his empire. And these statues, these symbols, if you like, would declare that those areas were under the emperor's power, were under his reign. But God has placed you and me, God has placed humankind as, if you like, living symbols of himself on earth to represent his reign. Sadly, all went wrong. If we got into Genesis 3, we realize how woman and man mucked it all up. Sin came. They wanted to be like God. Pride. They disobeyed God and obeyed the devil. So sin came into the world. Everything went pear-shaped. That's why Christ had to come to put it right, so that there could be forgiveness, so there could again be a relationship. So those who now are born again, those who are now Christians, true Christians, they have fellowship, it's sweet, with God and he with them. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we have been created. And also he has given to man the wisdom to oversee nature, the creation. We are in dominion. And that means that as believers, we're not, as it were, green, but we are good stewards of this wonderful land which God has given to us, but is perishing as we are. But if we are perishing, the promise is to believers, that which is perishing, that which is corrupting, is going to put on incorruption. Is going to be made perfect. Friends, we've just read about God saying, it is good. It was amazing. This was paradise. And the earth didn't just consist of the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. There was no rubbish there, no sin. There were no weeds, thistles or stinging nettles. It was perfect. Even the tree of knowledge and of good of evil was good. It was obviously perfect. But that was the only thing God said. Don't touch that fruit, or else you will become like me. Everything else is yours to enjoy. Even work a pleasure. Because it's not hard. It's easy. But of course we know the story. The pear on the ground sinned and took the apple. And as I say, it did literally go apple-shaped, pear-shaped, or whatever. And that's sad. So now the ground is cursed, it's hard work. Women have a tough time when they give birth, all because of sin. I tell you though, for the believer, one day, new heaven and new earth, everything will be perfect. Everything will be like it was, but even better, because Christ will be there. What a hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, of course, was given over to depravity, and that's why we see even in these last days, an increase of depravity and perversions. Romans 1 talks a lot about that, doesn't it? So, but in chapter 2 of Genesis, we read of God's gracious provision for man. In verse Well, in verse 16 and 17, sorry, verse 26 of chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Then in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And then in verse 18 of chapter 2, so if you can go over to chapter 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." God was saying, "I want the best for you. I want the best for you. It's my desire that you flourish." And he's saying, basically he's saying, "You will if you obey me. If you do what I say, you will flourish. You will be blessed. You will enjoy life." Out of the ground, verse 19, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she has been taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, but they were not ashamed." God has said several times, "It is good." Created, it is good. It was perfect. But now in verse 18, he says, "It's not good that a man should be left alone." Here in Genesis, we see man at the center of a network of relationships. And in a sense, it defines a purpose, a meaning for life. Relationships. We, if you like, have a vertical relationship with nature. We have a vertical relationship with God. But we also have a horizontal relationship with others, with each other. The horizontal. And it is that which I briefly just want to touch on now. It is the relationship to each other. Man needed a suitable companion. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that male and female, the inference is that male and female, man and women, are equal. They're equal in dignity, they're equal in their destiny, but they're also, unfortunately, equal in their depravity. But God is now saying, it is not good for man to be alone. He needs a mate. He needs a match. We need companionship, don't we? Verse 23, "And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" I think Adam liked what he saw. I think he said, "Wow! And she's mine, and she's come from me as well. She's part of me." And so Adam names her. They are equals. But there is order in the relationship. There is order in the relationship. Friends, marriage is God's provision for our need of companionship. Verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Let me say, and I possibly will emphasize this as we talk about other relationships and singleness, that those who are single, those who have never married, those who have been divorced or widowed, you're not second class. God still has a purpose. but we're talking about the God-given provision of giving a mate and where the sexual unity, sexual relationship can be enjoyed within marriage. In Jewish society, still happens to a certain extent, and it will happen within the Asian community to a certain extent, when a man marries his bride, they would go off and live in his parents' home. That would often happen, and it still happens today. Sometimes it's out of necessity, cost factor. So the bride or wife goes to live with her in-laws. The Word of God says, as a married couple, you may be physically living very close to your parents or in-laws. You may love them. You may honour them and you must respect them. But your spouse is number one. Your loved one, your partner, is now number one. He or she is your priority. You are united. Friends, feelings of love do fluctuate, don't they? They do fluctuate. But marriage is not at the mercy of feeling. It's not at the mercy of feeling. One flesh is an inseparable union. It is inseparable union. This is God's plan. This is God's plan for the 21st century as well. God is not saying that they will become one flesh and then, if all goes well, then they can be united one to another. I remember hearing somebody refer to marriage as a three-legged stool, you know, a bar stool or a kitchen stool. Okay, if the seat is attached to the three legs, you're safe. You won't collapse. But if you take one of those legs away, just one of those legs away, you're going to have an uncomfortable landing. Obviously, aren't you? You will no longer have a stable stool. Living together is taking the gift of marriage without the responsibility of marriage. We have union here. God is such a provider. We have union here. We have unconditional promises here. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, to love and to cherish till death us do part. The Word of God says, be joined. Be joined. Be joined in passion. Be joined in intimacy. Be joined in permanence. One flesh. One flesh sexually. And also when you're believers, your brother and sister as well. Thank you, Lord. God is our creator. He's our life giver. He's our provider. But he will also be judged. I want to do it right, don't you? God help me. He says, God says that it is within a lifetime marriage commitment, within a lifelong marriage environment, that sex is to be enjoyed. And it is for life. Verse 25 says, they were both naked, the man and his wife, but they were not ashamed. There was no shame until after the fall. Friends, God did invent sex. It's a wonderful gift. But it is for husband and wife to enjoy. It must only be expressed in the right and proper environment. It is a lifelong relationship. It is intimate. It's God's provision. And it is good. Chapter 5 and verse 2, he created them male and female and blessed them. and called them mankind in the day they were created. Human sexuality was a part of God's original plan. Friends, we mess up. We get it wrong. But this isn't just God's ideals. This is God's word for us today. Each and every one of you, like myself, we can know forgiveness from the past. And that should not now hinder or drag us down. If you've been forgiven, you've been made alive in Christ Jesus. But if any of us are now falling short of what God wants for us today, help us, dear Lord, to put it right. God is such a loving God, isn't he? He wants us to enjoy himself and enjoy in a right way the relationships that he gives us. May he help us, and may we be willing to be obedient to him. It's part of the call of being disciples. Because of our love for him, because of his grace that is work in our lives, we want to honour him, even honour him with our bodies. We've been called out from what we were engaged in to become the children of God. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we've just touched a subject, and I realise, dear Father, that it is a sensitive thing, and I wish to be sensitive, and I pray not only to your Holy Spirit most of all, but to each other, Lord. I pray that you will help us to be obedient followers of you. Lord, when we consider what you have done for us, help us, Lord, to order our own steps according to your word. Lord, direct our steps, we pray, that we may follow you. Let your word be quickened to us. And I pray in all the very practical things which we have just touched on today, we will have the wisdom of God, and that we will have grace one for another. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you do want the best for us. And although sometimes the pleasures can become very real, they are only temporal. And they will stain us. So, Lord, help us. I pray for each married couple here, Lord, that this year, whatever the challenges and difficulties that they may or currently be experiencing in a relationship, and whether there are financial difficulties, whether there is difficulties because the love of perhaps for one or both has grown somewhat cold, I pray, Lord, you will quicken them, and that they will see this year as a day when they can put the past behind and believe that you want them to prosper. I pray, Lord, that any thoughts, any talk about leaving, that will now, you will help us, Lord, not to listen to the devil, not to listen to our own feelings, but that which you have given us to cleave to, we will cleave. Thank you, Lord, that you are not leaving us, we're not without help, you are our helper. Pray, Lord, that we will be confident in the knowledge that you do all things well. So, Lord, please enable us to do that which will bring honour and glory to you. Those, Lord, who are feeling hopeless, may you bring them a word of comfort, that they will see in Christ their everything. That even if they've almost given up, they will see you and that there is nothing too hard for you. Lord, forgive me that many a time I tried to change the other person. Perhaps it was my wife I tried to change when all the time it was me needed to change. And I'm sorry, Lord. May we die to self and put our loved ones' needs first. Thank you, Lord. This is your plan, so if it's your plan, you will help us. Thank you. When we're weak, we could be strong in you. Thank you for being a friend to us. And for those who love you, you will be a guide through life, even unto death. Let us see this year as a year of great possibilities in Jesus Christ. Thank you for this new day, for this new opportunity. We commit it to you, Lord. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit now, we pray. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh.